Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? Amen, Johnny. God is good all the time, amen? Would you turn your Bibles to Psalm 19? You know, we see more and more manifestations of Israel and what's going on over there. And you can sense that we're getting closer and closer. You're beginning to see those who are with Israel and those who are against Israel. You know, many people don't even realize that Palestine is a Latin word for Philistine. And so when Israel was conquered by the Roman Empire, and the general, whoever was that conquered it, hated Israel so bad that he called it Palestine. Hallelujah. Repent. And in this area of calling Israel Palestine is because he knew that it would represent the Philistines, and he hated Israel so badly. So I want you to know that even though there's this battle over there, and it's not about people. It's about the demonic forces that are influencing people. First of all, there's never been a Philistine or Palestine. There's no coins, there's no kings, there's nothing that represent a Palestinian state whatsoever. And all that land does belong to Israel, regardless of what. The Lord has proclaimed it. Amen. There was something that occurred a few weeks ago, and I think I might have shared this with you. I don't know, but the Lord had, after my prayer time, I asked the Lord, I said, "What is there anything else you'd like me to pray for?" And he said, "I want you to begin to call destructive fire down and dimensional ports of Satan's kingdom." And I began to see these ports, which they were coming in. And he said, "I want you to ask me to dispatch my angels there. And then I want you to ask me to dispatch my angels to my ports to keep them open." So I began to call destructive fire down and Satan's dimensional ports and ask the Lord to dispatch his angels and so forth, applying the blood of Jesus on his dimensional ports. And the next thing I know, 2 weeks later, here we are having Israel going to Palestine and the Hamas areas, destroying tunnels. Because what begins in the spiritual also, in other words, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. So what you're speaking here is accessing the spirit realm, so something can be done in the physical realm. Amen? And what we're seeing is an escalation and an increase of what we call God's judgments. You know, before God's wrath comes, which you cannot escape, he releases judgments. And there's been judgments going on for many, many years. Amen? And judgments are actually good. I mean, they're actually good. In one area, one of the areas of God's judgment is he chastens me and you. That's a correction. Amen? He chastens us. He says, "I chasten those who I love." Why? So that we can get back into position, or when we begin to fall asleep, or we begin to become compromising or lazy, or we begin to get off course. God has a tendency to awaken us one way or another. And in Psalm 19, in verse 7, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, and sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is what? Great reward." So there's six things he talks about: law, testimony, statutes, commandments, the fear, and the judgments. And he says, look at the final thing is by keeping these things, I'm warning you, by being attentive to these things, there is a great reward. So we all want a reward, but judgments also are associated with rewards. In fact, the first judgment for me and you is the area, and go to John chapter 5. Jesus came into the world, and when he was in the world, before he accepted everybody's judgment on himself, there was something he said powerful. He said, the ruler of this world is judged. But so many times, even though that there's something that has occurred, it doesn't mean it's been manifested yet. So many times people think, well, I haven't repented, so I'm okay. Nothing's happened. But it's going to. And sometimes it comes in the most subtle way. So in this, the first judgment is associated with me and you in judging ourselves. And in John chapter 5 in verse 19, it says, then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has commanded all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him whom sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. And the reason for that is because he's accepted the price what Jesus paid. He believes, he's given his life to the Lord, and now he has an opportunity because judgment has passed him, that individual who's accepted Jesus Christ. But of course, we know that there's an area where that we must constantly judge ourselves so that we repent for the things that we've done that have offended the Lord. In verse 25, it says, most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him the authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who've done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. So he'll be judging according to the will of the Father, not according to the will of man. Amen? In other words, there are three areas of me and you as in judgment. We are judged as sinners. Amen? But we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So what do? We confess our sins. We are judged as children or sons and daughters. That's where he chastens me and you. Amen? So when an individual doesn't repent for his sins, what happens? God chastens them so that they come back. And then we are also judged as servants. This is our judgment. Servants, that's where rewards are gained or lost. Is everybody okay? And 1 Corinthians chapter 11, judgments of God. Now we know that judgments are continuous, aren't they? We see the God releasing storms and all kinds of stuff, things that happened. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 31, would you read it with me? For if we would what? Judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world. So judgment is purposed to escape God's wrath. Without judgment, in other words, without judgment, you can't go into God's wrath. So he always releases judgment. In fact, the Bible tells us that even the body of Christ is in judgment. We are in judgment. Why? But we get convicted, don't we? We get chastened. There's a simplicity of first conviction. And when you ignore conviction, you fall into chastisement. When you ignore chastisement, you fall into judgment. Everything escalates harder, harder, and harder in hope to rescue me and you from his wrath. Because there is no escape from his wrath. You will go through the wrath. But of course, the Bible says that when we confess our sins and turn away from them, we're reconciled back to the Lord and we are rescued from the wrath of God. But the judgment of God is always there. Always there. Starting with conviction. Amen. Starting with then chastisement, then judgment, and then wrath. In Matthew 7. Because judgments are rescue of wrath. Does everybody get it? In Matthew 7. So we want to judge ourselves, don't we? We want to search out what's my motive? What's my desire? Am I out of order? Am I being honest with myself? Am I allowing my emotions to lead me? Am I allowing my desires to lead me? Or am I allowing the will of God to lead me? In Matthew 7, in verse 1, it says, judge not that you be not judged. Now, you know, so many religious individuals use this. Man, you judging me? You bet I am. I'm judging you. I'm not condemning you. I'm judging you. Why am I judging? I'm judging fruit. Because fruit always tells you where a person is. Works and fruit are associated in the area of an individual's life. It's associated with what is their life like. He says, for what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Let me tell you, you judge someone when you have a plank in your eye, you can expect chastisement because you've overridden conviction. Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye and look at a plank and not look at the plank in your own eye. Hello? Hypocrite, he says. Anybody want to hear be known as a hypocrite from the eyes of God? No. Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. That's where we must first judge ourselves and everything before you begin to judge someone else or assume. In verse 15, it says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their what? Fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear fruit, good fruit, is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will what? You will know them. Not everyone, he says, who comes to me and says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is phenomenal. Because these are individuals that did not judge themselves. They rejected God's conviction. They rejected God's chastisement. And they rejected his judgment. Now they've fallen under his wrath. And he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. He who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Lawlessness. So we obviously, lawlessness is a practice without God's law. Now you may think, well, God's law is the Ten Commandments. Well, the Bible says that the law is within me and you. So the law has not been erased. It's been fulfilled to those who are being led by the Spirit. Amen. So you're fulfilling the law by being led by the Spirit. But he said, look at, again, in this whole Matthew 7, it talks about judging ourselves first and then knowing the fruits of our walk of life. So again, works is associated with walk of life. And when people are practicing lawlessness, that is a fruit, isn't it? And it prevents a life from entering eternal life. So everybody got it. In other words, they are not following Christ. They are following their own dictates. Well, this is just how I believe. Let me tell you something. It's amazing to me and how many Christians do not read the Bible. It's amazing to me. Listen, if you're a Christian and don't read the Bible, you're not a Christian. It's impossible for you to be a Christian if you don't read the Bible. Does everybody get it? It doesn't make sense. How are you going to know what you're doing? How are you going to know whether what you're doing is pleasing God or not? If you don't read the Bible, you're not a Christian. But I believe in Jesus. Well, then you better believe in his word that's written. And there's many people who do not read the word of God and know for themselves. Does everybody understand? Again, if you're a Christian and you don't read the Bible, you're not a Christian. In Galatians 5, lawlessness. Lawlessness. Again, fruits and works are a walk of life. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. It says, now the works. Wait a minute. What's the works represent? Walk of life. Fruits and works are associated with the walk of life. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and anything associated with this or like this, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things, which is called lawlessness, these things are called lawlessness, will not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, they will not go to heaven. They will not enter. Why? Because Jesus said, if you practice lawlessness, you have no part of me. Has everybody got that? Very important, because there's so many people that are out there that thinking that living a homosexual life, living in bars on weekend, living with shacking up with someone before they're getting married, they think it's all okay. Selfish ambitions. Selfish ambitions is saying, I'm going to do it my way. Well, my desires overcoming your will. How many of y'all know that when if it's not God's time, it's not God's will? Amen. So all of these things are what God looks at. Now we got to begin to step back and look at what does God see? Not what just you and I. What does the Lord see? Have you asked him, Lord, what do you see in this? What are you showing me? Listen, God doesn't expose other people. He exposes you. The devil exposes other people. Man, look at that person. Well, you better get in the mirror yourself and find out who's in there. Hello? You know, people are always looking at other people. And the problem is they're not pulling the National Grand Forest out of their own eye. See, when people begin to look at other people in that arena, what they're trying to do is justify themselves for their lawlessness. Amen? Is everybody okay? Praise God. So we see here that the works of the flesh, which is a walk of life according to the flesh, it's called lawlessness, and it will prevent you from entering the kingdom of God. And it's because these individuals did not judge themselves first. In 1 Corinthians 6, I've spoken to many believers, so-called believers. Yeah, I'm a believer. I'm a good person. Yeah, I know such and such is doing this. I know such and such is doing that. But they're good people. They don't realize good people go to hell. Why? Because there's good people that are practicing lawlessness. They are called ungodly people. There's the wicked, and then there's the ungodly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 8, I think, did I say 1 Corinthians chapter 6? In verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not what? Inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And what does he say after? But such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And what does he say? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So when an individual is brought under the power, usually the fruit of it is lawlessness. Does everybody get it? It's lawlessness. Why? Because they're putting themselves first and they're not judging themselves. But they're judging everything else. They blame everyone else for everything instead of judging yourself. So lesbians, homosexuals, stealers, liars, all of these individuals that portray to be good people, according to the Word of God, not according to me or anyone in here, according to the eternal Word of God, says, you're going to hell. And God doesn't want that. He desires no one to perish. No one. No one. It's not the person, it's the spirits in them that's causing them to manifest and do lawlessness. And because they're practicing lawlessness, they cannot enter the kingdom of God. In 1 John chapter 2, I'm still on the first judgment. I think this is the most important one. Why? Because if we can get this, we won't have to hit the other ones. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, do what? Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Those are works of life, of someone's life, practicing lawlessness. In verse 17, here's the answer. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God, what? Abides forever. So there's a difference of someone who's doing the will of God and someone who isn't. And I don't care if you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you're still choosing to practice lawlessness, you're not his. So we understand. Does he love you? Yes. His love for me and you is unconditional. We actually bring judgment on ourselves. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So he does the will of God and not the will of man or the will of the world will enter the kingdom of God. But we must judge ourselves. Amen. The second judgment I want to talk about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9. Would you read it with me? Therefore, we make it our what? Our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. We make it our aim. That's our life. We have a desire to please him in everything we do. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your conscience. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and where? And where? Not in heart. Because there are people who have an outward appearance, but their heart isn't right. Amen? So what is he saying? He says, nobody escapes the judgment seat of God. Now, this judgment seat is associated not only in judgment of not correction, but it's associated with reward or loss. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and verse 13. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep or what we might call believers who have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Those are the ones who are dead in Christ. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Again, this is known as the rapture. Amen? This is when the dead in Christ are brought up and those who are alive are brought up. We are brought to the judgment seat of Christ. And this is where we either are rewarded or lose the rewards. Is everybody okay? This is the second judgment. And if you will go with me to 1 Corinthians 3, it will explain it. Judgments of God. So there's a judgment where you and I judge ourselves. Amen. And the second judgment is what's going to get us the heck out of here in the presence of God for a reward of gain or loss. This is only to those who are walking right with God, who are not practicing lawlessness. They're the only ones who will be removed in the rapture, and those who have died. I didn't say good people. Amen. Who have died believing that they've been saved. Amen. They won't be brought forth. Only those who are right with the Lord who did not practice lawlessness. Because there are many people who have died already thinking, hey, I'm okay. Well, they found out that they're not. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, would you read it with me? For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clearer. For the day of the Lord will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. So if you're doing something that God has not called you to do, you will not be rewarded for it. Well, what do you mean? The word says it, but did God tell you to do it? If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. And if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So this is something powerful. So we're going to either be rewarded. We're going to get rewards, which are known as crowns. There's actually five crowns. I'm not going to get all of that tonight. Or we're going to lose the reward. Instead of receiving five crowns, you might receive one, or the things that you've done that you thought you were doing for God wasn't really of God. God didn't ask you to do it. Amen? That's why it's so important. Why? Because he desires a close relationship, intimacy, so that we are close to the Lord. And he places us in fellowship where the offices are there can confirm what God is doing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Or 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm sorry. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. So the first judgment is associated with me and you and judging ourselves. The second will be judged by works, walk of life. What kind of works did we do? What kind of things did we do? The other one is personal walk of life. The other one is what we did in this walk of life. And the third one, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. Would you read it with me? Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Remember, the Lord, what did he do? He rejected the ones that were practicing lawlessness. So he's calling the mystery of lawlessness the one who's the leader of lawlessness. He says, only, in other words, he is trying to continue to promote and influence individuals to practice lawlessness. But only he, who is the Holy Spirit, who now restrains, will do so until he is taken out of the way. And he will be taken out of the way the day you and I are raptured. He's removed also. Not that he's permanently removed, but he's going to take us home. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will eventually consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of a lawless one is according to the working of who? Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be what? That they might be what? Saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in what? Unrighteousness. Again, the third judgment. This third judgment, what he's talking about. Now, the rapture is in mid-tribulation, most likely. That's according to what the scriptures are saying. Because a lawless one will be revealed in mid-tribulation. But what is tribulation? What is the purpose of tribulation? Well, let me share with you that the tribulation, there's a tribulation and there's great tribulation. Tribulation will be associated with God's judgment, and then the great tribulation will be God's wrath. But in this, God will allow the Antichrist to bring judgment on mankind. But who's behind it? The Lord. In Luke 19. So this judgment, the third judgment, will be under the Antichrist as the wrath of God in tribulation and in great tribulation. And in Luke 19, so we got to look at something now. The church, the body of Christ, has been removed. Amen? Self-judgment, not practicing lawlessness, go home in the rapture, the dead are raised, those who are alive go home. They're judged for rewards of what they've done. So we're home in heaven. Amen? Now another judgment will come, which will be according to God's wrath. And in Luke 19, in verse 43, Luke 19 and verse 43, and let's start at verse 41. It says that, now as he, Jesus, drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side. Who's he speaking to? The Jews. And level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. One of the things that occurred here, so we see that judgment, the tribulation is associated with the Jews, because they rejected the Messiah. They rejected God as Father at one time, they rejected Jesus as Son, and they rejected the Holy Spirit. So the rejection of the Godhead is where this third judgment will come on the earth. And in Daniel chapter 12, in Daniel 12, in verse 1, it says, and at that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, which is Israel. And there shall be a time of trouble. This is called Jacob's trouble, which is 7 years. You know, the Holocaust was the first Jacob's trouble, which was also 7 years. Such as never was there was a since there was a nation. Now Israel became a nation in 1948. Even to that time, and even at that time, your people shall be what? Delivered. So we know that the Lord is going to deliver these individuals, even though there's going to be great trouble. So the wrath of God is going to come upon them, and of course the whole world. And everyone who is found written in the book. So anyone that is written in the book will be rescued. Now, understand this, that there's going to be many people who are going to believe after the rapture, aren't they? The purpose of the rapture is assigned to unbelievers. Of course, you're going to find a lot of people with, they're trying to convince individuals that the aliens have taken us away because we were bad and interfering with alien salvation. Anyways, so understand that this will be known as Jacob's trouble. The vials of God's wrath will be released, and it will be called Great Tribulation. Is everybody with me? Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, so that means people are going to get saved, aren't they, after the rapture? But they're going to still have to go through the wrath of God, aren't they? They're going to try to escape. They're going to try to do everything they can to survive. God's not left them, but they got to go through it. And I know we don't want to go through that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9. Is everybody there? For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the what? Wrath to come. That was the rapture, wasn't it? So we are not accounted for the wrath of God. Does everybody understand that? So I hear so much stuff about, well, we're going to be in all of this. No way. The word, that's not what the word says. The word says that you and I are not accounted for the wrath of God. Amen? And go to chapter 5. Chapter 5, in verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet of the hope of salvation. For God did not, what? Appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, in other words, we're dead in Christ or alive in Christ, we should live together with him. All of this is confirming the removal of the church that has been sent home to be judged by works, while there's a judgment on the earth that will be used by the Antichrist, and then Satan will come. The Antichrist will be judgment, will be utilizing judgment for the first 3.5 years, and Satan will come himself for the last 3.5 years for the wrath to bring forth on this earth. Is everybody okay? So there will be a judgment of tribulation, amen, which is actually the third judgment. And what's going to happen is all of this is going to escalate till the return of Jesus. So in Revelation chapter 20, Revelation 20, starting at verse 1, then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the keys of the bottomless pit, and great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who was the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. So when the Lord returns at Mount Olive, Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released a little while. And Zechariah 14, and verse 1. Zechariah 14, verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all the what? Nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses riffled, and the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations. When? When he lands on Mount Olive. And he will fight, and as he fights in the day of battle, and in that day his feet will stand on what? Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move towards the north and half towards the south. Then you shall flee through my mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall reach Azel. Yes, you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Thus says the Lord, my God will come and all the saints with you. So we see that you and I will return with the Lord in this final judgment, that he will judge nations. Is everybody okay? He will what? Judge nations. And Joel chapter, let's go to Matthew 25. Is everybody okay? Matthew 25 and verse 31, fourth judgment. And when the Son of Man comes in his glory and the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate them from one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. And the king will say to those on his right, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Now, I want you to know that he's talking about those who came against Israel and those who helped Israel. Remember, the judgment came, was associated with the Jews in Israel and anyone else that was an unbeliever and rejected God's love and truth. And then the Lord comes and lands on Mount Olive to gather all the nations that rejected Israel and came against Israel, and all the nations that helped Israel. He calls them goats and sheep. In verse 36, he said, I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you naked and hungry and so forth? And he says, when did you we see you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when do we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these of my brethren, you did it to me. And then, of course, he will also say to the other ones, then he will also say to those on the left, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Why? Because they came against Israel. Does everybody understand that? This is now the judgment. God is bringing judgment on the nations that he's bringing before him who came against his people, Israel, his promised land. Because he first brought judgment on them, didn't he? And now he's bringing judgment of those who are coming against him in his land. Is everybody okay? So the nations that treated Israel and those that are alive after tribulation of 7 years were known as the ungodly, whether they walked with God or not, or the righteous. In Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3. Again, the fourth judgment is the judgments of the nations that how they treated Israel. Man, if all the politicians would read this, I think they'd be shaking in their boots. In verse 1, for behold, in those days and at that time when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, are they back? Amen. I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people, my heritage, Israel, whom they have what? Scattered among the nations, they have also divided up my land. They have what? Divided up my land. Are they still trying to divide up their land? Yes. Even this country, our country, is trying to convince Israel to give up more of their land. They did give up Gaza, which is a part of their land. And now look what's happening. They didn't do anything with Gaza. They were hoping that a government would be formed there and the people would, that's all they did was get weapons to come against Israel. Because they hate Israel. They don't even know why they hate Israel. Most of those nations don't even know what the heck they're doing. They just were brought up to hate Jews and Christians. They don't even know why. Nobody's probably even asked why. They do, okay. In verse 3, they have cast lots for my people and then given a boy as a payment for a harlot and sold a girl for wine that they may drink. All nations shall come to the valley of Jehoshaphat to be judged by what they've done to Israel. Amen? In the fifth judgment, Revelation 20, in verse 11, This judgment will come after the thousand-year reign. This is the final judgment. In verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. The dead. This means the wicked. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead. Well, was there anyone who was saved in Hades or hell? No. Who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Walk of life. Then the dead in Hades were cast where? Into the lake of fire. So know that the dead were the wicked. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. So you had the wicked, right, that were dead. And then you had the ungodly that had made it through, that still chose not to accept Christ. Now, I truly believe that there were those who were cast in the lake of fire, and those were everything burned, and there that were left. Because remember that the Lord then removes us all again from the earth. To what? Burn it. Destroy it. Is everybody okay? That's why he calls it, this is the second resurrection. Go to Jude. The book of Jude. In verse 5. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe or follow. Verse 6. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. And they were judged also. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner, to these having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Eternal what? Fire. And I want to go back to the book of Revelations here. In verse 21. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth for the first time. For the first heaven and the first earth had what? Passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Again, these are judgments that are happening, and they're going to escalate. They will continue to get worse. Amen? Would you turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, and I want to close here. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. Let's read it together. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth with which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking toward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, has written to you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people, what do? They what? Oh, hallelujah. They twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory, both for now and forever and ever. And everybody said amen. I want you to go to verse 7. Actually, verse 5. And I want you to read this with me. For this they willfully what? Forget that the word of God, the word of God, the heavens were old and the earth standing out of water and in water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for what? Fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to what? Repentance. Amen? Verse 10, we'll close here. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be what? Will be burned up. So it's very possible that not only the lake of fire that will be here left on the earth, which the lake of fire is most likely the Dead Sea, but those who are ungodly will be left here also. And they will be destroyed with the earth as a new heaven and a new earth come. Five judgments. I think it's important that we know these things. Amen? So that we can share it with others and hope, scare the hell out of them and get the Holy Ghost in them. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask that this seed be protected by the blood of Jesus, and that it grow and bear fruit for your glory, and that you would quicken us to know who to share these things with, these special treasures, for your glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.